Will LSU have the best defensive line unit in the country in 2023?
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every single day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts, but do not forget you can also find us on YouTube as well. So if you're on the go, you're in your car, we'll plug us in, listen on your preferred podcast platform. You can also find us on YouTube where, of course, we are free and available every single day. My name is Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every single day. You can follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. You can also follow along with the podcast at LockedOnLSU. However you like to listen, wherever you listen, whenever you listen, and however you interact with the podcast, like, comment, rate, review, subscribe, all of that great stuff. Just appreciate you for being here and appreciate you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every single day. Let's get into it. It's a question that I've been asking myself over the last few days, ever since Mason Smith made his announcement when he took to Instagram and said that he was fully cleared. So it is, you know, green light, full systems go for Mason Smith after his ACL recovery when he tore his ACL in the first game against Florida State this past season. So as soon as I heard that, I thought, okay, you bring back Mason Smith, which obviously is a very, very, very net positive. Does this unit, this defensive line unit, and this pass rush unit, this defensive front for LSU, does it have the capacity to be the best unit in the country? I look at some other great defensive lines around the country, Michigan being one of them, two of them in your own conference in Georgia and Alabama. I mean, Georgia the last couple of years has had the best defensive line in the country. Alabama had its own individual pass rusher that is one of the best, if not the best, in the country in the third overall pick in Will Anderson. So you got a whole lot of competition there. Illinois also, weirdly enough, has a really strong defensive front. But I think LSU absolutely should be in the conversation to be one of those top, if not the top, units. And it's because of a few things that we do know. One thing is Mason Smith. Mason Smith is returning. And one thing that we don't know about Mason Smith is, yeah, I know that he's fully cleared, but is he 100%? He's got plenty of time from now, May 24th, until the beginning of fall camp, until the beginning of the season in September against Florida State on Labor Day weekend. He's got plenty of time to get back to 100%, to get in the weight room, to get the training done that he needs to get back to the point that he was at in September 2022, when we were all poised and ready and, you know, just salivating over the thought of a Mason Smith breakout season. So he's got some time. We won't know the answer to that question of is Mason Smith 100% really probably until fall camp, maybe even really in September once we see him in actual gameplay. But getting Mason Smith back is a massive, massive addition. And then I look at the other sure things, the things that you do know. One of those things is Mekhi Wingo. It was almost the strangest way to look at Mason Smith's injury with a little bit of a silver lining, with a little bit of, you know, a glass half full, making lemonade out of lemons, if you will, that we saw the breakout of Mekhi Wingo. Now, maybe we would have seen that with or without a Mason Smith injury. If you're a good player, if you're a proven player, you will step up and make a name for yourself and carve out a starting role for yourself no matter what. But when Mason Smith went down in game one, it was next man up, and Mekhi Wingo was that next man up, and he answered the call. And not only was Mekhi Wingo a force on the field, Mekhi Wingo, in only his first year at LSU, in only his second year in college football, remember, he transferred from University of Missouri to LSU in Brian Kelly's first year in 2022. So in his first year at LSU, only his second year in college football, he emerged as a leader in the locker room, and he emerged as a solid, reliable, consistent piece on that defensive line. I was so encouraged by what I saw from Mekhi Wingo. So we know that Mason Smith has the potential and is prepped and ready to have an elite season. We know that Mason Smith this year can build a resume to be a first-round draft pick, if not a top 10 draft pick in the 2024 NFL draft. We know that Mekhi Wingo, in his first year at LSU, he proved himself. He proved that he belongs on a top unit in all of college football, and one of the top units in the SEC and also of college football. If you've got a top unit in the SEC, you've got a top unit in college football. That's how things work. We also know Harold Perkins. Can never leave out Harold Perkins in the conversation when you're talking about that defensive front. We know what Harold Perkins can do. He did that in his freshman season. That's what I thought about last year when I'm just sitting and watching in awe of Harold Perkins and what he can do is, oh my God, he's a freshman. What is he going to do next year when he's got a full season under his belt, when he's got a full year, year and a half of training, being on LSU's nutrition program, having that just under that year under his belt? How much better can he be in year two? Harold Perkins in his freshman season was one of the best defensive players in all of college football. And now he's coming back for year two. And we can expect him to be even better, which is, I know, pretty hard to understand and to wrap our minds around just how much better Harold Perkins can possibly be. But that's the truth, and it's realistic. You can expect to step forward in year two. So we know some things that are quote-unquote sure things, or maybe as sure of things as we possibly can be. And Mason Smith and his return, and Mekhi Wingo, him coming back in his second year with an elevated role, Harold Perkins in the kind of the same way. But I think what the difference is going to be, you need your superstars. And I would call Mason Smith and Harold Perkins your superstars. Mekhi Wingo, I don't think necessarily is a superstar quite yet, but he's a star. He is a household name. I think that you need those three, specifically Mason Smith and Harold Perkins, your superstars. You need them to be superstars. They are going to be ones, the ones to be your game wreckers. They are going to be the ones that when opposing offenses are doing their scouting reports, they circle those two names to say we have to pay extra close attention to those two, because we could really find ourselves in a whole lot of trouble if we don't pay proper attention to those two. But what I think can really carry this defensive line unit over the top is what we don't know, the unknown, and what we won't know until the beginning of the season. And I want to get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Bird Dogs. So I think the best thing about Bird Dogs, at least my favorite thing about Bird Dogs, is they are so incredibly comfortable. But you don't have to sacrifice style. I think so many of, you know, like my comfortable outfits, my lounge outfits, I look like Adam Sandler. You've seen those memes of Adam Sandler with the baggy shorts and the baggy shirts. You look like a mess. You look like, you know, you're all disheveled, like you just rolled out of bed. But I want to be comfortable and I don't want to sacrifice style. I want to look good. I want to feel good. And that's exactly what you get with Bird Dogs. They're so incredibly comfortable. They have super stretchy fabric that, like, maybe if you had a big meal earlier, well, the waistband will accommodate for that. And they also have built-in compression shorts and stretchy shorts on the inside. So they're super soft, super comfortable, and they look nice. They're super versatile. You can wear them just hanging out, laying on the couch. I know I do that a good bit. You can also wear the Bird Dogs pants to the office. You can also wear the shorts, maybe going out golfing. You can wear them to the pool, working out when you're just hanging out. They work for every occasion and they look really nice as well. I mean, Bert Kreischer, who doesn't love Bert Kreischer? He's a hilarious comedian. I have heard that when he wakes up at his lake house, he wears his Bird Dogs, goes out for a little swim, smokes a cigar, grills a burger, hangs out, chills with his family, all in the same shorts that he wore all day long, and the shorts that he associates with the summer, and it is Bird Dogs. Summer and Bird Dogs go hand in hand. They are the perfect summer short and summer pant. It's really the only thing that you're going to need in your closet because they're so comfortable, they fit so well, and they're so incredibly versatile. So go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege, and when you enter promo code LOCKEDONCOLLEGE, all one word, LOCKEDONCOLLEGE, they will throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. I have one. I love it. I had my coffee in it this morning, actually. Check out Bird Dogs. So comfortable, so versatile. birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. Well, thanks again for making Locked On LSU your first listen every single day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Every Dayer is coming up tomorrow on the show. I know it's Wednesday today, and I forgot to build in a mailbag Wednesday today. So that's what we're going to do tomorrow. So every Dayer is tomorrow on the podcast. We're going to do our mailbag Wednesday. You can comment your questions down below. You can tweet them at me at CarolineFenton1. You can send me a DM. You can also tweet them to the podcast at Locked On LSU. However you want to get those questions in, I always appreciate you guys for sending in your insights, the questions that you might have, push back on some takes that I might have. Send it all in. I welcome it all with open arms. But I think that this LSU defensive line absolutely has the capacity and the power and the star power and just the sheer talent to be one of the top units in the country. And that's really carried by Mason Smith's return. It's carried by what Harold Perkins proved that he can do in his first year. And it's carried by Mekhi Wingo and the supporting role that I think that he is going to play on this defensive line. How much of a key role he really played in this locker room on and off the field this past season. We know we can expect great things from those three. We know that we can count on those guys. But I think the really big difference here, you know, those three alone is enough to talk about for hours and hours on end. That's enough support and evidence that you would need to say, hey, this unit's going to be pretty damn good. But I think the difference may lie in what we don't know. The mysteries, the unprovens. And some of those mysteries and questions lie in the exact things that I just said were sure things. One of them I already mentioned, Mason Smith's injury. I am counting on him coming back 100%. I'm expecting him to come back 100%. Injuries are tricky, man. ACLs are tricky. I have no doubt that Mason Smith is going to do everything in his power, that he's going to work sun up to sun down to do what he needs to do to be 100% ready to go in September. But ACLs are tricky. The other unknown is, where is Harold Perkins lining up this year? We've heard from Brian Kelly and Matt House. They've said it ad nauseum to the point where I almost lost all meaning of the word linebacker. How many times they both said, Harold Perkins is a linebacker. Harold Perkins is going to play linebacker for us. And we heard from John Jancic, outside linebackers coach, Jack linebacker coach, who said that in spring practice, Harold Perkins was lining up at inside linebacker, will linebacker, more specifically the weak side linebacker. So I don't know what Harold Perkins is going to look like in that role. We had Max Chadwick on from Pro Football Focus this past week. And you can find that on your preferred podcast platform and on YouTube. It was a really great sit down, really great insight from Max Chadwick of Pro Football Focus. And he said, you know, why are they moving Harold Perkins? Why are they doing that? And part of me thinks the same thing. Like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But I also think about how much more, you know, if we saw what Harold Perkins could do in this new role, if he can offer up even more, well, then hell yeah, you'd take that. So that's what we don't know, is how Harold Perkins is going to be utilized, exactly where he's going to be lining up. Is he going to play linebacker, but also still be a little bit versatile? Also drop back when need be? Also rush the passer when need be? Or is it going to be, this is Harold Perkins' role, and this is the, you know, the hole that we have carved out for him, and that's what he's going to play? That's what I don't know, but I think it's going to be interesting to see that unfold. But there are some other unknowns as well. I mean, this defensive line got some added juice in the transfer portal in this offseason. I look at Parrish Shand, the transfer from Arizona. Jalen Lee, the transfer from Florida. Ovi Agufo, the transfer from Texas, who spent the first couple of years in his college football career playing under Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. How do those pieces fit in? Ovi Agufo, I would say where it stands right now, is probably the most likely contender to be at that Jack linebacker spot. What does he look like there? How much different does this defensive line unit look and work without Bijo Ojulari on the outside? That's what I don't know. Can he fill into that spot and be that go-to guy, that pure Jack edge rusher? I don't know the answer to that question. Deshaun Womack, a five-star recruit coming in this 2023 class, five-star edge rusher, the number one recruit out of the state of Maryland. Can he be a contributing factor year one? Can he carve out a spot for himself in year one? I think we've seen and have heard loud and clear from Brian Kelly that if you're a freshman, I don't care. Are you the best one? I don't care if you're a freshman, sophomore, senior, triple senior, quadruple senior. It's your 14th year of college football like Stetson Bennett had. But are you just the best option? Can you give our team the best possible chance to win? Then great. Then you're playing. We saw that last year with Harold Perkins, Will Campbell, Mason Taylor. Not afraid of playing these freshmen now. So can Deshaun Womack fill in to this defensive line? Is he going to play a good bit at the Jack linebacker position? Can you rely on a true freshman to play that position? It's a whole lot of responsibility. So that's where I wish I had more answers. And I'm really just kind of spitting out my thoughts to all of you because I don't have the answers. Because we don't know what this defensive line is going to look like. We can look at these individual pieces and see, okay, you know, Uvia Gufo had a solid season at Texas. Took a Paris Shand, really solid at Arizona. Deshaun Womack, 5-star coming out of high school. But we don't know what this unit looks like altogether. And that's why I think the question marks are really the biggest part of the story. We know what to expect from your superstars, the guys that we do know. The guys that are coming back to LSU for their second, third, fourth year. What I don't know is the new guys. What I don't know is how these new guys fit in with the returners. But that falls on Matt House. That falls on these defensive line coaches. That falls on John Jancic, the Jack linebacker coach. That falls on these coaches to figure out the puzzle piece of what works best. It scares me, honestly. To move Harold Perkins away from the position or the really less so position and more so role that he thrived so much in this past season. But if you think that the best opportunity to win is to put Harold Perkins at inside linebacker, then put Harold Perkins at inside linebacker. If you think that's what, you know, squeezes all the juice out of his potential and his talent, put him there. If you get the best, you know, outcome from Harold Perkins putting him at safety, then hell, put him at safety. Do whatever you have to do to get the most out of your superstars. Put your supporting cast and your supplementary players in the places where they need to be so your stars can shine. Give players with potential an opportunity because I think that this defensive line unit has so much talent. My goodness, is there so much talent in this defensive line unit. Now the task and the puzzle, the tough part of it is let's put it all together and make it the best combination that we can. And also, how quickly can we do that? If you're still figuring that out on Labor Day weekend against Florida State, good luck. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to figure that out throughout the regular season. But that's also the advantage of a returning coaching staff. They know what they have. They know the strengths in their returning players. They have that figured out. They're already a couple steps ahead right now where they were this past season. So I think this unit absolutely can be one of the best in college football. I think it can be one of the best in the SEC. Look at Georgia. They've lost a majority of their defensive line talent. Jalen Carter is gone. Nolan Smith is gone. They have these other supplementary or younger pieces that may turn into be just as good as Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith. Those are Georgia's own questions. Alabama absolutely always has a solid defensive line. But gone is Will Anderson. And Alabama has Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell, two younger pieces on their defensive line, two edge rushers that each had, you know, a handful of sacks this past year. All good players. But like Matt House said, like Brian Kelly said, this is a league that is won in the trenches. You better hope you have one of the best defensive line units in the SEC because I think that is the difference. Your defensive line against their offensive line. Your offensive line against their defensive line. You win those battles, you win the game. You win the SEC. Coming up next, some fun news out of Hoover. Very fun day for the purple and gold in Hoover, Alabama today. We'll get into some of those details coming up next. Well, thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every single day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. The Tigers on the diamond get the win against South Carolina in the SEC baseball tournament today in Hoover. South Carolina whooped Georgia yesterday in game one of the SEC tournament. 9-0 on Tuesday against Georgia for South Carolina. South Carolina comes in, takes on LSU, and it was... You know, the bats were flying to begin. Braden Joubert with a two-run bomb to start the game. Thatcher Hurd starting on the mound for the Tigers. And Thatcher Hurd really was kind of moving and grooving for the first few innings. He gave up a one-run bomb. That's okay. That's fine. That's going to happen. There was anything that we learned from Thatcher Hurd this past weekend against Georgia is he can give up those runs and still come back and get himself acclimated and relax. He gave up two single home runs to Georgia on Friday night when he came in for relief of Paul Skeens. And then he was able to come back and pitch a really solid rest of the game. So that, to me, it's a really good sign. You can get yourself in a little bit of jam. You can give up a run, but you got to have a short-term memory about it. You can't be hung up about it. You can't be all high-strung about it. So that was, I think, one good thing for me to see. Thatcher Hurd got himself into a little bit of a pickle. And right on the midpoint of the game in the sixth inning, the bases were loaded. LSU was up 6-1 at this point. Bases loaded, walked a guy, brought a run in, and then things got a little uncomfortable because you're up 6-2 at this point, but the bases are loaded. And that at bat could have been the difference in that game. Grand slam there. It's a completely different ball game on both ends. So Thatcher Hurd walks one. He gets pulled. Sam Dutton comes in. He walks one. Now you're looking at 6-3. So LSU gives up two runs in that inning with the bases loaded. Nate Ackenhausen comes in. He pitches himself out of a jam. He had a great day to finish out the game against South Carolina. And then the bats were just absolutely flying. I mean, Dylan Cruz had a single run bomb. It was from there. It was just things started to get out of control. Final score was 10-3 in Hoover. And it was the one thing that I've been complaining about over the last few weeks, even months. And it was pitching. Pitching outside of Paul Skeens, pitching in jams, pitching with a comfortable lead and giving that comfortable lead up. And it was pitching, ultimately, that saved this team today. I've never said that this pitching staff needs to be the absolute best in the country because this offense can swing itself out of a whole lot of jams. This offense can do a whole lot of favors for this pitching staff. But there's only so much that the offense can do. Back to that series against Mississippi State. You're up 9 runs in the fifth and you lose. So the pitching took care of business today. Offensively, they took care of business today. I thought LSU looked fantastic today. They looked confident. They looked comfortable. Pitching staff looked confident and comfortable. The bats were moving. They were feeling it. So LSU will advance into the next round of Hoover. They will take on the winner of Arkansas and Texas A&M. Arkansas and Texas A&M first pitch is around 4:30 this afternoon. So we'll keep an eye out on that. We'll do a full preview of Arkansas and Texas A&M and a full recap of all the action on Hoover as we go throughout the week. But that's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Lock and LSU your first listen every single day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Every day or tomorrow on the podcast, it's a mailbag Wednesday on a Thursday. I will see you there coming up tomorrow on Locked On LSU.